I'm very, very excited about what God wants to do through that. You know, coming through, one of the things I realized, this is a bit of a, this is not my vision, but one of the things that I realized coming out of such a healthy church experience in Newcastle where we came out of, it was very, very normal for us, or for the start of my Christian journey, which was 20 years ago, it was right from the start, it was normal to have mums and dads of the faith around me, discipling me and speaking into me, sometimes correcting me, sometimes challenging me. That was normal culture. And I believe that I believe that's God's heart for the church. And so I just want to encourage you to have someone in your life, doesn't have to be those one of those people, it may be one of those people in your world that you are accountable to for your life, that has permission to speak into you, to share with you, to actually, it's a scary thing and a beautiful thing all at the same time. But that's a culture of our house, of this house. And so I'm excited about what God wants to do. I feel like the other thing I want to say, just as a follow-on from this, and this is a bit of a soppy thing, but I just want you to know as a church community how much we love you. I just felt like I needed to say that, and I don't know if I say that enough, and it's yes, all the blokes are all tuning out now. He's like, it's all soppy. But I just wanted you to know as a church community, we really, really love this community. You know, we came down 10 years ago to the Central Coast, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, and it was really hard. Like, anyone who's ever had to relocate or leave a city or leave a job or change countries knows there's a grief that comes in separating from the old. So it was incredibly painful. But now when I look back over the last 10 years and I think around the people that are part of this community are some of the greatest people, some of the best people I have ever met. And I'm so thankful to God. I could just go around individually all day. We could just do that. And I could just say something great about all of you. In the, some of you I've had lots of time with. Some of you I've only just started to get to know. But we just wanted you to know on behalf of Amy and I and our leadership team how much you're loved and valued and appreciated. Thanks for trusting us crazy, immature, imperfect leaders to pastor you. I always say to our team, I promise you that I will never be the perfect leader, but I'll always be authentic. I'll always be real. And so that's my promise to you. I can't say I'm going to be a perfect leader. I'll never be a perfect leader, make great decisions all the time, but I'll always be real. Is that a deal? You be real with me, and I'll be real with you. Great. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to talk about vision, and it is Vision Month because I realized when we talk vision, we're always talking vision as a church. Where are we going? What God is saying. It's not just one Sunday, one day, or even one month. But there's so much that God is doing in and through this church that we wanted to take a month to talk about it. And I feel like it's important because the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. Some versions say without a vision, people cast off restraint. In other words, when there's not a clarifying vision and a vision of alignment, we all just sort of do what, end up what we want, and there's no direction. And so vision, what I'm going to share today is not to shackle you. It's not to say, well, you must do what Thrive Church is doing. It's to so you know the heart of our church, and so you can align with that. And so if this is your first Sunday, or you're thinking about joining our church, this is a great Sunday to be here, because you're going to get a sense of our heart and what we're all about as a church. And so it's important to remember, though, when we talk about vision, whether it's for church or for your life, the Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, which means God only ever shows us some of the picture. A lot of what God has for you this year and for me and for this church is unknown. And in fact, that's okay. It should be that way, because if you knew everything, and for all you control freaks out there that like to control every little bit of your life, God will continually mess up your life and mess up your plans deliberately because he wants you to walk by faith. So he'll never show you the whole picture. He'll just show you some, enough. It's like the breadcrumbs on the trail. So you've got to walk by faith, right? So what I'm sharing today is some of what God is showing us, but there's always enough room for the Holy Spirit to rock up and do whatever he wants to do. Anytime in this church, I am not the senior pastor of this church. Just want to make that clear. I'm not. He is. Jesus is the lead pastor of this church. He's the cornerstone. He is the chief shepherd. And so anytime he wants to change things, he is welcome to do that anytime he likes. Having said all that, God has begun to, and has always begun to show me parts, and Amy and I together as a couple and as our team, because what we're realizing more and more in our church, the vision is not just in one man anymore. Like, I'm not the guru, like the sage on the stage. I have a great leadership team around me who are full of wisdom, full of life, and full of vision. So increasingly as a team, we're coming together and we're collaborating, saying, what God's saying to you? and we come to the place of agreement. I've got great pastors and great leaders around me. So just so you know, there's no superstars in our church. There's no gurus. I don't have it all together. I am one part of a team that takes this church forward, and that's healthy, right? I want you to know that. And so anyway, what I want to share today is really, I feel like, some vision over the next decade. So you're looking at the clock going, oh God, he's going to be here till 1 o'clock. May well be. I promise I'll have you out by 12:45. However, at the end of 2022, God began to speak to me about what the next decade would look like in part. Some of you may know this or may not know this, but this year it was actually 10 years in January that we changed the name of this church from Hope Family Church to Thrive Church Central Coast. And we honor the legacy of the previous season. We honor the people that went before us. I think of people like, where are you, Moya? Your dad, Pastor Vince Harris, Pastor John Pennycook, people that went before us and pioneered. We honor them and we celebrate what they did. But there's now a new season to come into. And so it was 10 years and we didn't even do a birthday cake. We didn't even do anything for it. Anyway, so it's been 10 years since we became Thrive. And last year, it was 10 years since Amy and I it was 10 years in January this year that we became Thrive, but last year it was 10 years that Amy and I were sent down from the Central Coast to Newcastle. So 10 years ago, we were Novocastrians. Now we're Coasties. Can you believe that? I get a little bit of a twitch when I say it because I'm like, Nova, Coastie, can I be both? But I'm a Coastie now, so I just want you to know that. It has been 10 years. And God began to speak to me. I was driving up to have lunch with Pastor Tim Hall. Some of you may know him, Evangelist Tim Hall. And I'm whinging to God on the freeway, driving up my car, complaining, actually, as some of you do and you would relate to God, going, I don't want to look like the last 10 years. Not that the last 10 years weren't great. Well, some parts weren't great. But be careful what I say here. It was a tough 10 years. But I'm like, God, I don't want to do the same thing we've been doing that we last 10 years that we've done into the next 10 years. I'm ready for the new thing, God. I personally am ready for what you have. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, the next 10 years will not be like the previous. And I feel like that was a word he spoke over us personally and individually, but it was a word for our church. Those of you, I think, are some of our original people that were here from the start would, I think, testify to this, that we are not the same church as we were 10 years ago. We're not the same church. Now, having said that, people get a bit scared when they say that because they're like, well, are you going to take and we're going to change all the good things that were always part of this church? No. All the good things that should stay in season after season will stay. But if we're not changing, we're not growing. If you're the same person in 10 years, that would be disappointing too. So we should be growing and changing. So we're not the same church that we were 10 years ago. And over the next decade, we will be a very different looking church. Might I say radically different looking church. And I'm excited about that. And you should never measure or judge what God does in your life in a very short-term season. You should look over a decade of your life and you'll see the hand of God weave. It's like the tapestry. You know, when you see a tapestry, on one side is the beautiful tapestry, but behind the tapestry are all the knots and bits and pieces that don't look like anything. And so when you look over a 10-year period, you go, oh, I can see your hand at work, God. I can see the themes. And so don't judge what God is up to too quick, right? And so anyway, I felt like this next word would be a 10-year word. And so over the last 18 months or so since God gave me that word, I feel like we have been transitioning into a new decade as a church community. We've been transitioning into the new. And to be honest, as a team, we don't really know what it looks like, do we, Laura? We've got a sense. Well, every week when we turn up as a team each month, we go, well, what do you think, guys? And we're just sort of figuring out together, trusting God as we go. None of us have all the answers, but we're just following Jesus out of obedience into the kind of church he wants us to be. Which, again, when you hear by the end of this, I think we're going to look very different to a lot of what's out there. And so what I have begun to do in the last 12 months is begin to really define clearly who we are as a church. Last week, I said to you, if you were here, your who is more important than your do. I said that, you remember? That identity, so from identity flows activity. So once you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you're clear about who you are and what you stand for, that'll dictate what you do. So we began to do that as a church community. And again, this is your first Sunday. This is great because you get to hear it all up front. So I'm just going to ask you, Beck, if you could put that up. I want you to know, I'm not going to teach on these. I want to declare these to you. This is who we are as a church community. These are the words that define us. We are a local church with a global reach. We are community focused and we're mission driven. We're presence seeking and discipleship oriented. We are word based. The word is our foundation, but we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're not either or in Thrive Church. Just thought I'd let you know that. We are big spirited and we're kingdom minded. We are warmly authentic and fervently generous. We are Thrive. That's who we are as a church. And the great thing is today, if this is your first Sunday and you go, I don't like any of that, that's okay. Now you know who we are. You'll either love it or you won't like it. And that's actually okay. So having said all that, that's who we are. Who was that, Lucas? You're off staff. I'm sacking you this week. He's just come on staff one day a week, by the way. So just so you know, I just wanted you to know that. So yeah, I haven't announced that. You're on staff. It's great. Excited about your future. All right. This is what we do. Having heard who we are, I want to move through this because it's a bit to get through. This is what we do, and it's the mission of every church. It goes back to Matthew 28, 16, which says, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the mission of every church. I don't care how you want to slice your cake. Every church comes back to that one commission. That's what we're here to do. Jesus gave us that one commission. Go and make disciples. He actually never told us to go and build the church. He actually never told us to go and grow a church or build a brand. He said, you make disciples and I'll build the church. So that's what we do. Everything we do comes back to that one central thing. We are here to make disciples. Right now, every church has a unique flavor in doing that. We have a unique style. And of course, we're not all the same. We're not homogenous, but it comes back to going to make disciples of all nations. Now, our mission statement, if you could put the next one up, Beck, is this. Our mission statement is together we thrive. So the primary way we outwork discipleship in our community is by coming together as a church and building community. And from that place, we make disciples. Because the truth is, nobody thrives in isolation. None of you can become a disciple of Jesus in isolation. The mindset that is prevailing a little bit out there amongst people, which is, I can be a Christian and follow Jesus and not be in church, is a lie from the pit of hell. I just want to say it straight out. You cannot walk in maturity as a disciple and reject community. Biblically, you can't. So I just want to make that clear. So your journey of following Christ starts as an individual. It is a vertical walk, you and God, your personal relationship with Jesus. But it is outworked also in the horizontal. Loving one another, serving one another, showing grace to one another, forgiving one another. A lot of Christians have given up on the horizontal because it's, let's be honest, it's the hard part. The vertical is kind of easy in some ways because God's perfect. You and I are not. So part of the reason God invented the church was we've got to come and do the horizontal with people that you can add your any bit that you want. You can't become a mature disciple out of outside church. And on Thursday night, I really felt like the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that mission statement is like, Brad, this is not just about together we thrive in here. I want you to become the kind of church that together we thrive in community. This is actually not us versus them. This is actually becoming the kind of church that our community can't live without. And that's what a lot of our vision is going to be about today. I think you're going to be excited. So all of you community people, you're going to love today and over the next few weeks. So that's our mission statement. Is that good? Great. All right, so let's talk vision, because mission is about what we do, but vision is about what we see. Okay? And so this is our vision. If you could leave that graphic back up for a second, Beck. I'm kind of getting through all the foundational stuff and then I'll get to this word that I want to release over you for this year. But there are four vision words that frame our overall vision as a church that will never change. And you all know them. Connect, grow, serve, and reach. But I began to seek God, and as a team we began to workshop these words around, well, what does it mean to connect? What does it mean to grow? What does it mean to serve? What does it mean to reach? Great words the Holy Spirit gave me 5 years ago, but they're very broad. And so we began to seek God together, and I just want to share a couple of things about what we mean when we say those words. So firstly, we are a church, or I see a church that connects deeply with God and with each other. So this is not a faith community where you can just stay at the surface. This is an authentic place. You cannot go deeper in any relationship, whether it's with people or God, without authenticity. You have to drop the mask. So in Thrive Church, we're real. It's real. So if we want to connect deeply, you can't wear a mask with God or with each other. And so the church that I see is a church that fosters as much deep connection as we can. People are longing for connection. You know, in the UK, I read something that blew my mind. In the UK, they actually have a ministerial portfolio for loneliness. loneliness is the epidemic of our time. We have never been more connected electronically, yet we have never been more separated in person. You go to restaurants and cafes and I see my daughter's generation not even talking. They're sitting at a table and they're sending messages to one another. How stupid. But it symbolizes this generation that we're losing the art of genuine face-to-face connection and community. That's the kind of church that I see in Jesus' name. Two, we will be a church that grows stronger. I want you to grow stronger. Stronger in your faith, stronger in your marriage, stronger in your convictions. We don't need in this season a wishy-washy, weak conviction church. We don't need that. The devil laughs at that kind of church. We need a church that goes, we know what the truth is. We stand in love, but we stand for righteousness and truth. We will grow stronger. We will be a prevailing, strong, healthy church. Number three, we will be a church that serves faithfully. You know, Jesus gave us that mandate. You can't be a Christian and not serve. You can't. Not a real one anyway. Jesus said, get your towel, wash feet. That was his model. One another and our community. And we want to be the kind of church that serves faithfully, season in, season out. There are seasons where you've got to rest and take a break. I get all that. But predominantly, we are on a servanthood mission to serve our community, because from serving comes influence. Some of you budding leaders are like, I want more leadership, or maybe you think I'd love to be a leader in the church. Get serving. You know how you get influence? You serve. You know how we get influence with our community? Not by telling them what they're doing wrong, by serving. If you want to be promoted at work, be the most servant-hearted employee. Your boss can't help but promote that. Go with the mindset of, I'm not here for my agenda. I'm here for yours, and I want to serve and see what you want done. It's a good tip, right? And last one, we will be a church that reaches further. We're going to be a church that reaches further than we ever have before. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to begin to talk about how we're going to reach further into the community, further into the nations, new areas of influence. You know, as long as we are the leaders of this church, we will never settle. Just want to say straight up, we will never settle for comfort. We will never settle for safe. We will never settle for convenience. I don't believe Jesus has called you to settle either. I believe we're called to continue to reach further and further, because there are so many people that need reaching. If we ever get to the point as a community where we just want our safe little community, and we just think that that is the most selfish mindset you can have. Because I'm like, well, is there not room for at least one more? Like more people need what we have, right? And that's the heart of it. All right, is that good? Okay, awesome. That's who we are as a church. That's the vision of this church. Okay, let's get a little bit further into a bit of practicality for a second, some practical stuff. We've got five key focus areas this year as a church. Five key focus areas that are on our heart that we're trying to go. The bottom line is, when everything's important, nothing's important. I hope I can say this. Yeah, I'll go with it. Okay. I once read this book. It was called Pharisectomy. And it's a great title. I want to do a series on it. You know, removing the inner Pharisee, you know, vasectomy. Anyway, I'll let you think about it. Anyway, this author was saying that in church life, every member of a church has a pet dog, right? We all have a pet dog. And so when we come to church or we come to community, we want the pastor or the leader to pet our pet dog. In other words, we want attention, and every area that we love as a church, well, we want you to give that attention. That's the most important thing of church. Worship's the most important. No, it's deep teaching. No, it's all of these things, and all those things are important because we've all got a pet dog. But he was saying that when pet dogs don't get any attention, they become rabid dogs, right? So the idea is that you've got to go out to your own dog park and let them run around, because not everything in this church that you think is important will be valued the same way. It's impossible. Otherwise, we'll be running around doing a myriad of million things. But we've decided as a church there are going to be five key things for us to do well, because I'd rather do some things well than many things poorly. Does this make sense? So I thought I'd just say that. I don't know why I told you that whole pharisectomy story, other than just sort of lighten it up and get out of information mode, and please send all emails to Laura afterwards. But our key focus area, number one, is this. We want to build a healthy discipleship culture. Number one. And I say culture, not program, intentionally. Discipleship is not a classroom program. It's not an add-on to the church. It's not a wing of the church. It's the lifebeat. It's the heartbeat of the church. to make disciples. And I say culture because culture means it's in the behavior and in the actions of the people. It should be normal for you and I as believers to say, what's my next step? What's my next step as a disciple? What have you got for me next? The reality is too many Christians get to a place where I'm happy, I know all the ABCs, I'm done with it, I'm comfortable, and they settle there. But as a disciple, you're always growing, always changing, always taking your next step, always transforming, always becoming more and more like Jesus. I wrote this down this morning. We are a walk the walk church, not just a talk the talk. In other words, I don't want to just talk a whole bunch of stuff to you today that sounds good and sounds fun, but then we go out and don't walk this thing out Monday to Saturday. Like if it's all nice and you're all hallelujah, praise the Lord, wonderful, loving in here, and then you go and be a jerk of an employee on a Monday. I know that's strong. Then we are missing the point of discipleship, right? So that's the most important thing. So you're going to begin to hear us talk about coaching clusters and different ways we're going to come into discipleship. And over the next 18 months or so, we're going to begin to talk about that. How can we get intentional? We'll roll that out. We want you as excited about Mondays as you are Sundays. And let's face it, some of us in this room don't even get excited about Sundays in church. Let's be honest. But what I'm saying is I don't want a Sunday service driven Christianity, and I don't want a church that's a Sunday service driven. We want to outwork discipleship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in your work, in your school, in driving, in your marriage, in the kitchen, spilling water, doing all the things that you do. We want to outwork discipleship. Okay, number two, we want to continue to raise up and release the next generation of young people. There'll be a huge focus this year on kids, youth, and young adults. Just a shout out to Mick and Leanne Bateman who have done an amazing job on our youth for 3 years. Thank you guys, incredible job. And Marion Taylor is not going to hear it over with kids, and Lucas and Laura with young adults. And these areas are all growing in our church. We've got so many kids, and our youth is growing, and young adults is growing. And the truth is, the bottom line is, the stats say that the younger a person is, the more open they are to faith. They are the next generation. And I want us to have a culture as the church that if you are older, and I put myself in the older category, just so you know, it's not that you are not important here, you are valid. Every generation is needed, but you would have a heart to be turned back towards the younger generation and help bring them through. You all can be spiritual mums and dads, brothers and sisters, if you have the DNA and the heart to do it, right? It's not just the appointed ones. You can all do it. So as a church, we're very much focused on the next generation. Just like practically on that level, we are praying for a youth pastor. We need a youth pastor. We need someone to step up and raise up, and we want to invest in that. Someone we can put in the high schools. Someone we can do that. So would you all pray for that? It's really important. For us to take youth ministry to the next level, we need to release someone potentially into a position there. All right, you going okay? So is it all right? All right, number three, and I'm really excited about this. We are one of our third priority as a church. We're going to mobilize our church for greater community impact. We're going to continue to reach further and further into our local community. Next week, you're going to hear all of the ways specifically that we are serving our local community. You're going to hear from Pastor Kerry, wherever you are. You're going to hear, I think you even have some guests potentially coming from our community centers who are coming to church because of the credibility that we have built in community, not through trying to tell them what to, just by serving them. I remember God told me one day, I was driving past the entrance community center on the way back from it, and he said, go inside and introduce yourself. And I went in, and I was suspicious for the first 40 minutes. What is a pastor doing in here? I'm like, I'm not here to get anything. I'm not here to preach to anyone. And they're like, well, what do you want? I said, nothing. Well, I'm here to ask you that question. What do you want? And so I just said, how can we serve? Thrive Church is here. We just want to help you. Well, we do meals for the homeless. We do this and this and that. And that just started a relationship of value through serving. And so we're going to talk about that all next week. And the week after, we're going to talk global. And then on the 25th of February, you're going to have an opportunity to sow into that work, to give to that practically. The truth is, this community and global vision requires resources, people and finance. So I want you to pray about that now. What can you give to this to reach people, community? We want to mobilize you for mission. It's always amusing to me when people say to me, well, what's the church doing in the community? My question is, what are you doing? You are the church. So please don't be critical of the church if you're not doing more. I'm just being honest, right? It's all of us serving our local community together. Just practically, we are one of only three churches in New South Wales that's been invited to be coached and mentored by our New South Wales State President, Paul Bartlett, who you might have heard last year preach, who goes all around the world teaching churches on how to become the church the community can't live without. You'll hear more from him this year. And so we're being coached personally on this. We're pivoting our church more and more towards community. And so you're going to hear about that, and I'm excited about that. Our vision for our future church building is actually all about building a multi-purpose community center. Like, this building is a great provision for us. Number one, it's not ours. And number two, I wouldn't design it this way. And here's why. Because it has been designed for church people in mind. What if we created a multi-purpose community center that did both? What if we created a building that was filled with people 7 days a week that was meeting practical needs as well as hosting the church? How good would that be? And in June, we're going to take up an offering for that as well. For like, so you're thinking, all they do is talk about money. But the bottom line is, we need resource to outwork this vision. All right, two more before I finish. We're going to continue to serve the nations. For the last 10 years, we've been a church that's had a very strong missions arm. We've been to Sri Lanka. We've been to Vanuatu. Where else have we gone? Lots of other places. Italy. We've sponsored church planting in Turkey. We are a church with a global reach. And that's a big part of the heart of our church. God has been extending and expanding our global reach. On the Sunday, the 18th of February, I'll be talking on all things global missions, so don't miss that. One exciting development was 12 months ago, we developed a partnership with an organization in Europe called Impact Europe, who are church planting churches right across Central Europe in Austria and Italy, some of the most unreached places in the world. See, when you think Europe, you think that's not a mission field. Less than 1% are born-again, spirit-filled Christians in mainland Europe. It is becoming secular and godless. This April, Amy and I have been invited to go and minister into Italy, into the church that we sponsor and we support. So we'll be doing a week of ministry in a city called Bari in Italy, ministering in their leadership college, ministering on a Sunday. So we're practicing our Italian for that and getting ready for that. But we as a church are moving more and more into the nations. And so I want to encourage you around that. We're taking a young adults missions trip to Sri Lanka in September. And I'm excited about that. But we are going to continue to serve the nations. Lastly, we're going to continue to facilitate empowered gatherings as a church. So having said all that, the gathering is important. It's biblical and it's necessary. When people say, oh, church services are unnecessary, they're in error, because the Bible is clear that we are to gather and gather regularly, and we come and we're refreshed and empowered and fueled up to go back out and make a difference. This is like a well that we all drink from. Hopefully when you come here, you walk out feeling more refreshed than the way you came in. That's the heart of it. Hopefully you've had a sense of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you've had a touch from God. Hopefully you've got a word. God does something when we gather together corporately. So the gathering is important. We fuel up together and then we go out and take what God does in here out there. So we're going to continue to facilitate Holy Spirit-filled, empowered gatherings in Jesus' name. All right. I think I'll invite the band to come up now if that's okay, and that'll probably help me move to a close. Are you doing okay? Good. There's a lot going on, isn't there, in our church, and there's a lot happening. And so having said all that, I want to release a word, a specific word over you as a church community, over your families, over your lives individually, because every year I ask God to give me a word, a specific word, and this is very much a word not just for our church, but a word for you. And each year He gives me a word. And the word that I felt for this year specifically, and I think, Rekha, if you could put that up. No, not that one. Not that one. I'll come back to that. Thanks a lot, Beck. Is the word flow. Is the word flow. I felt like the word that God specifically laid on my heart for this year is the word flow. I think we'd all agree that there is a move and a flow of the Holy Spirit across planet Earth. God is always moving. He's always touching lives. He's always moving. God is never stationary. Everything is moving. Every breath you take, your cells, everything is movement, moving towards somewhere. And I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting us as a church into partnership with Him as He moves across the earth and touches lives. And it's all about people touching lives. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but the vision verses, if you want to just write it down for your own reference and read through later. But Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 9, speak of the prophet Ezekiel getting a picture of a river flowing from the temple in Jerusalem out towards the Dead Sea. If any of you have been to Israel, I've been to the Dead Sea. I've swum in the Dead Sea. You float. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's just so salty. And yet Ezekiel got a vision that it would be a time where the river would flow from the temple in Jerusalem and it would flow fresh water all the way into the Dead Sea, and what wouldn't live there before would then become a living, life-giving source of water, and that fish of all kinds would begin to live in that Dead Sea. And Revelation talks about it as well. But really that picture that Ezekiel got was a picture of the end times move of the Holy Spirit flowing out and bringing life to all that was dead. Restoration. God is moving and flowing. And as I began to pray through this, I began to feel the Holy Spirit draw my attention, because in the scripture where it says, Ezekiel goes into great detail, right? He says, I saw a river coming out from the temple, flowing out through the right side, I think, of Jerusalem. Now, those of you that know your Bible background, there was no river that flowed to the right. It didn't. There wasn't a river that came out of Jerusalem when that was written. And so what it speaks of is something new, something fresh, something flowing, powerful, life-giving and fresh. And the temple that he speaks of, right, we know Revelation says that there'll be no temple in heaven because God is the temple and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying is that in this end time flow of God, that people who are called by my name, filled with my spirit, on mission with me, will out of their lives flow a move of the Holy Spirit like has never been seen before. I would suggest to you that often we're like, God, send your spirit. It's biblical. I would say that God's trying to flip it, saying, why don't you release what's in you? Why don't you let it come out? Why don't you let Holy Spirit out of your life? Why don't you love like you've never loved before? Why don't you forgive like you've never forgiven before? Why don't you get bold? Like you carry the Holy Spirit. Why do we always think it's got to come down from there? It can, and he does, but it's actually about you releasing out of you what's in you. And I want to call it out of you today, because in some of you, all of you actually, is a reservoir of the Holy Spirit that needs to touch communities, neighbors, colleagues, workplaces. You know, when God gave me this word, I'm almost done. When he spoke this word to me, I was downstairs. I think I was playing with a dog, doing something random. But it was in a moment of time where I was having this ongoing conversation with God in my mind, where I was like, God, am I doing what you want me to do this year? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the things you want me to do? Am I putting my hand to the right things? Are there some things I should let go? And I was just, how do I align my movements with you, God? How do I move in sync with you? And I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for myself. But over the last 21 years of following Jesus, there's been a wrestle in my mind and my heart. And it's this, I've often, just me, I can't speak for you, been too worried about whether or not I was doing what God wanted me to do. And was I in the right place that God had me? Was I speaking what he wanted me to speak? And they're not saying they're bad prayers, but too much anguish on, am I in the right places and doing the right things? And then one day I realized, and I felt like when he released this word flow on me, I realized something. I felt like what he was saying to me, and as for the vision of this church, that wherever I go, he goes. And whatever space I walk into, he walks into. Whatever I do, the places I go, the people I see, or the tasks that I do, God is there. And here is what I know in your life. God is already at work in your spaces and your places and your areas of influence, your street, your neighbors, your colleagues, your families. He is already at work, and he's inviting you and I, he's inviting Thrive Church to come on a journey of flowing with him. You getting the picture? And everywhere we go, God, you're with me. Move through me. Touch me at work, in my family, in the car, flowing with God. And the question you have to answer in your heart today is, will you partner? Will you say yes? Will you consecrate your life? Will you actually surrender your life tomorrow? Like every day where you get up and decide, today, God, this is your day, not mine. This is your influence, not mine. This is your paycheck, not mine. This is everything you've given me is yours and for your glory. God, today I surrender and I move with you. And it's not even complicated. Because what's beautiful about this vision is, I'm not asking you to even do anything more this year. Let me just take the religious thing off. You should be doing more. You should get more involved. I'm actually lifting that off and I'm saying, just infuse kingdom purpose into what you already do. Just infuse it into whatever you do. If you buy a coffee every day like I do, or used to do until I bought a machine, it doesn't hurt when you get your coffee from the barista to ask one more question. How was your day? How are you this morning? Just engage, instead of just doing task, got to get it done. Why don't you begin to slow it down and go, God, I'm going in to get my coffee. I'm going into the grocery line. I'm going, God, what do you want to do in this moment? And just let him flow through you in all of the normal spaces you occupy, in your business places, in your relationship world. Does this make sense? Just infuse kingdom purpose into it. Like the other night, we were at dinner with some friends and Amy just saw a table sitting over there and she just goes, pay for that table. Before I used to like go, how am I going to afford that? Now I just go with it. I flow because God's at work and we just did it. It's as simple as that. You just infuse kingdom into everything you do in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me as a church? 1 Corinthians 10 says, verse 13, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do. I'm just about done. I want you to put that daggy picture back up for me, Rebecca. I'm going to finish on this. You're wondering what that picture is. I want to explain it to you because I felt it was prophetic. On Tuesday, we had our key team had a coaching session all day with Paul. And as part of the session for that day, he asked us all to draw a visual picture of the church, the way we saw it. And it was a fascinating exercise to put down visually the way we saw church. And it was beautiful because everyone at the table had a beautiful drawing, way better drawings than mine. Some people drew a tree, some others drew skyline. They were just such beautiful pictures and they're all very valid. But I felt when I drew this picture, yes, there's stick figures. Yes, it's like kindergarten grade drawing. It's terrible. But I felt like when I drew this, that the Holy Spirit was saying, you are prophetically drawing the picture of the church that's in your heart. You are drawing and putting on paper what Thrive Church is to be over the next 10 years. And I want to show it to you, as daggy as it is, that down the bottom represents you and me, my poor attempt at hair. When you don't have as much anymore, you don't bother putting on the stick figures. Thanks, Paul. All different people, all different sizes, all different shapes. Men and women, young and old. Linked arms as the church. The church is people. The church is not a building. The church is not an institution. She is a family of people linked together through the bonds of peace, Ephesians says. Jesus brought us together. We are together in Christ, right? Facing outwards, that's what the arrow represents. Facing outwards to a lost world. We're not faced inwardly. And the heart and the cross is in the middle of the arrow. Everything we do is based on what Jesus has done for us, motivated by love, the redemption message of Christ. Facing out to people, and notice I've written like little dots between them. They're not yet connected. People out there are not truly spiritually connected the way we are. They're not connected with eternity, and they're not connected with each other to the depths that we have. I wrote flags up there because I see the church is reaching all nations, all people groups, all tongues, all tribes. And off to the side here, I just wrote the building because I realized the building is not the vision. The building is not the goal. The vision is not to fill this auditorium with thousands of people and have it all here. That's not the vision. The building's just a tool. We just need the building to ultimately fulfill what we want to do. And I wanted you to see that today because that's the church we are. And that's who we're becoming. So I invite you to make a decision in your heart today. Will you partner with us? Will you partner with Thrive Church? Will you partner with the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mandate that He's put on this house? We're going to be very different to a lot of churches. It's going to be unique. It won't be homogenized, but that's okay. So I want to invite you to do, if it's okay, if you feel comfortable. I want you to put your hand on the person, the shoulder next to you, link arms, hold hands. If you don't feel comfortable with that because of COVID, it's okay. Just link in your heart. Oh, look at that. That's beautiful. Actually makes me quite emotional when I think of this. I want to see this. This is the church. You are the church. She's beautiful. She's beautiful and she's wonderful and she's glorious because you are. the Spirit of God in you. And I'm going to pray that you would say yes in your heart to this vision, to come on and partner with us to reach a world that's so in need of Jesus. So Father, in Jesus' name, I commission this beautiful, beautiful church, every person standing here today, and those who couldn't be here today but are part of this community, they're included too. Father, in Jesus' name, would you knit us together? Would you knit us together so closely in love? God, would you knit us and bind us together? Would you create unity? Would you create a family in this place, God, where every person is accepted, valued, and loved? And Father, would you get us on mission? Would you help us to flow with you? Would you help us to mobilize? Would you help us to love people like we've never loved before? Would you help us to go places and go spaces and speak the right words? Would you help us to be generous? Would you help us to keep our eyes fixed on eternity? Because this is all for your glory, Jesus. This is not for the glory of a man. This is not for the glory of Brad and Amy. This is for the glory of the kingdom of God, that Jesus Christ would rule and reign and do what only he can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.